Thank you so much, everybody. I am so honored to be here. I'm going to scoot this back because I'm going to get in front of it at some point. My name, like she said, is Steve. Rosima is the way, but it's about a 30% success rate on people that don't know me very well. So it's all good. And man, I'm so honored to be here. It's been such a pleasure over the last few months, just beginning to get to know Ron and Valerie, and just seeing the heart behind the leadership of this church. And you know, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me in just a minute, but I am a pastor back in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina. And I know that a lot of people come to pastors for encouragement, but pastors need encouragement too. And church, would you just help me honor your pastors? Come on. Cool. All right. So, a little bit about me. Like I said, I come from North Carolina. I didn't grow up in North Carolina. I grew up in Nebraska. And that's why I have sometimes a strange accent. You'll hear all the hard A's of the Midwest and all the soft I's of the South. So hopefully that's going to help you understand me while I'm talking tonight. But I am one of a few pastors at a church in North Carolina called Definition Church. I've been on staff there for 10 years. And I've been married to my wife, Rachel, for almost 13 years. Our anniversary is in a couple weeks. And we've got three amazing kids, 8, 5, and 3. So y'all can pray for us. I'm hoping we're going to get to sleep through the night in a few years here. And man, but I love my family. I love being a pastor, but I love my family. And my wife and I just kind of from the beginning of our marriage decided that we wanted to the best of our ability, spend our money on memories and not materials. And, so we like to just like travel. We'll just do spontaneous trips, right? And just, you know, hey, why don't we just drive down to Charlotte this weekend or, you know, and, so just last weekend, actually, knowing that I was going to be traveling and away from home this weekend, last weekend, we took a day trip to another city, went to some museums, ate at a food hall. If you don't know about food halls, man, you gotta find a good food hall. I hope there's one around here. You gotta go search them out because, man, it is the glory of God on earth. I'm telling you what, we had pizza and sushi and burgers and, I mean, all sorts of stuff. It's just like, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's, you know, Isaiah 55, come and eat freely, take whatever you want. That's what it feels like. It's not free, but you know, it's close enough. The next day we did a day trip up into the mountains. One of the great things about living in North Carolina where I do is it's 3 hours to the mountains. It's 3 hours to the beach. It's amazing. It's amazing. So we took a trip up to the mountains, you know, the leaves are changing and all that. So we have a lot of fun together. We go on adventures together. A few years ago, before our third child was born, we drove down to Florida. And yeah, you heard me right. We drove from North Carolina to Florida. That's a 13-hour drive. And that trip still is proof to me that miracles still happen because it went fairly well with two kids, 4 and under. It's just like, that's really proof that God is real to me. And man, the weather was perfect. I got to kayak with manatees. That was amazing. I mean, top of the list, you know, of some of the best life experiences so far. But there was one thing on that trip that kind of stressed me out anyway. On right near our hotel. So anytime we were going to or coming from our hotel, there was this roundabout. And have y'all been on a roundabout before? And some of you are laughing because you know. Okay, so maybe I'm just a bad driver, but roundabouts stress me out. I'm like, which direction am I supposed to look? When am I supposed to go on? There's no red or green. It's just, you know, I just get kind of anxious about roundabouts. And I know they're supposed to help with, you know, traffic congestion. And I get all of that. There's research. Okay, whatever. But that just doesn't convince me. I just have a hard time understanding Somebody is sitting. Someone was sitting at some point thinking, how do we make traffic better? Let's make them all dizzy. Like someone, I mean, it feels like someone looked at a merry-go-round, which is already a death trap, and they were like, we should put cars on that. That'd be good. And then this particular roundabout was two lanes. Who is passing on the roundabout? Like, how fast are you trying to go? Okay, some of y'all are passing on the roundabout, and we need to worry about that. So here, we're driving to our hotel. And this is the very first time. We're coming into town, driving to the hotel, and we get on the roundabout. And Rachel is driving, and I'm navigating. And so we're coming up on it, and Google doesn't even really know how to get us off the roundabout. You know, I'm trying to figure out what my app is telling me, and she's like, is it this road? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, well, is it that one? I don't know. Well, which one is it? Just go around again. We'll figure it out. Just go around again, right? And you know, that's not the only time I feel like that in life where I'm just going around again. There's times in life where it feels like, I know I'm trying to go somewhere, but I don't really know how to get there. And it feels like I'm kind of caught in this cycle. Has anybody felt like that? Where it just is like, man, I kind of have this idea of where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not sure how to get out of this loop. It feels like I'm stuck. It feels like I'm just kind of doing the same things. I'm going to the same meetings. I'm seeing the same people. I'm having the same conversations. And how do I get to where I'm supposed to go? And there's moments in life where we feel stuck. Where we feel stuck. So maybe you're a stay-at-home parent. And before you had kids, you had all these dreams of, you know, what God was going to do through your life. And now you feel like you're stuck at home changing diapers. And where is God? And what happened to those dreams? And maybe you feel stuck in your job. And I'm looking for something different. And I felt like at this point I would be a little bit further along in life. And that I would have gotten that promotion. Or that things, the situation would have changed. Or maybe you feel stuck in a relationship. And man, I thought that by now they would have matured beyond this. Or I thought that by now we would have been able to work this out. And it's still, I feel stuck. I feel stuck. Things aren't changing. I can't get to where I want to go. This isn't what I expected. What do I do next? Where's my off ramp? Right? And I want to talk today about the stuck moments of life. And what I want to do is I want to give you an encouragement about the stuck moments. And I also want to give you a challenge about the stuck moments. Okay, an encouragement and a challenge. 2 points, if you want to call them that. But we're going to be reading out of a story in Exodus chapter 13. Okay, so if you want to start turning there, I'm going to give you a little bit of context. So there's this people group called the Israelites. And they're the people that God chose. They're God's people. And God promised to the father of this nation, his name was Abram. He promised to him that there was going to be this land that God was going to lead them to that was going to be full of resource, and it was going to be amazing and have everything that they need, and it would be their land and their place and a place they could call home. The land was called Canaan, but most of the Old Testament calls it the promised land. And I think we all have promises, sort of this destination that we dream of, that we sometimes feel like God has told us we're going to go there. But before the Israelites ever get there, they end up in slavery to Egypt for 400 years. That's a stuck season, okay? My seasons are not that stuck, you know what I mean? 400 years, they're in slavery. And you know, most of us probably know this story. God does all these miracles, and finally the ruler of Egypt, his name's Pharaoh, is after much resistance, says, fine, you guys can go, you can be free. And so here's what happens. It's in verse 17. This is what happens right after Pharaoh finally begins to let them go. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 18. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory. Philistines were another nation that was hostile to Israel. Even though that was the shortest route to the promised land, God said if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. The title of my sermon today is A Roundabout Way. A Roundabout Way. And I see kind of two things happening in this story. And I'm going to start with the encouragement. I told you I got an encouragement and a challenge. We're going to start with the encouragement because that feels good, right? So here's what's happening. God's taking them on this path, and he takes them on a detour. He reroutes them so that they won't have to fight the Philistines. And the encouragement that I want to give you tonight is that God's process protects me. God's process protects me. Do you know you're in a process with God? God's planning ahead. We can't see ahead of the present moment that we're in, but God can. And he's looking ahead, and he was looking ahead for the Israelites. And he looked ahead and he saw, man, okay, the Israelites have been in slavery for 400 years. They don't have a clue what it means to fight. They don't understand. They've not yet seen the goodness of the promised land. They don't have it in them to fight for it. And so I'm going to reroute them. It's not the fastest way, but it's the better way. I'm rerouting them. I'm taking them on this process because if they get in a battle, they might go back to Egypt. Which is crazy to think about. But man, we kind of do that too, don't we? When things get hard, when we come under pressure, we tend to go back to what's familiar. Right? My wife and I do this. We'll, in the 30 minutes between when we put our kids to bed and when we feel tired. You know, a lot of nights we're kind of hanging out and, you know, maybe we want to watch something on TV, a TV show or something like that. So we'll pull up Netflix or whatever. Well, what do you want to watch? I don't know. Maybe this. Oh, yeah, I saw this one. And now 15 minutes have gone by. We got 15 minutes left and we go, okay, just watch The Office again. It's fine. You know, we know it's going to be good. Do that with restaurants. You know, where should we go to eat? Oh, let's go over here. Well, they're not really good for kids. Let's go over here. Well, they don't really have outdoor seating. Let's go. Hey, let's just go to the restaurant we always go to. You know, we know what to expect. We know what to expect. And when we come under pressure, we go back to what's familiar. And I want to encourage you that maybe the stuck moments of your life are God keeping you from going back to the way things were. I'm not who I want to be yet, but I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. Anybody else? I'm thankful that I'm not who I used to be. I don't want to go back there, but there are moments where that feels comfortable. There are moments where even our brokenness and the things that we know hurt us and others, it's just what's familiar. It's what feels like home in some strange way. I kind of wish that wasn't true, but it's just familiar. I know how to navigate that place. But the roundabout, like it did for Rachel and I, it's just, you can just go around again until you get some clarity on where you're supposed to go. God's process protects you. Sometimes God puts you on a roundabout way so that you can develop the character that you need. And the conviction that you need to get through what's on the other side. And I think that sometimes the thing we want God to do in our lives requires a battle that we maybe just aren't ready to face. You know, blessing carries a burden. I love that word, the weight of glory. C.S. Lewis wrote about the weight of glory in Exodus chapter 33 when Moses says to God, I want to see your glory. The Hebrew word there literally translated means weight or heaviness. There's a burden that comes with blessing. It's a weighty thing. And I think one of the most dangerous things that can happen to a person is to come into a blessing before they've developed the strength to sustain it. So sometimes God's going to take you on a detour. God doesn't want you, y'all know Whole 30, the diet Whole 30? Okay, God doesn't want your Whole 30 to turn into a Whole 5. He wants you to make it the whole way. He wants you to make it to the end. God wants you to last. God wants the blessings that he gives you to last. He doesn't want it to crush you. You know something that's really interesting about lottery winners? So few lottery winners are able to keep the money that they win. Why? Well, it's because they never went through a process to understand how to manage what was given to them well. They came into a blessing before they were ready for it. And God's process protects us. Nothing else in life works like the lottery. We all want to, I love that it says that the shortest route to the promised land, that they'd have to go through Philistine territory, it was the shortest route. Man, we want the shortest route, don't we? How do I make the most amount of money in the least amount of time? How do I jump through all the hoops in my job so I can get to that promotion? How do we, can I maybe skip through all those difficult parts of like developing a relationship? And can we just jump to the sex before we get married? I just want to, you know what I mean? Like, we just want to get to the reward without going through the process that allows us to manage that reward well. We want that shortest route. Sometimes the fastest way is the wrong way. And we can't keep what we get when we get it. And so for me, the question, you know, as I'm thinking about my life and as I'm navigating life and as I find myself in stuck moments, I think the question to ask myself, see, I always want to know, well, how do I get out of this? How do I get ahead? How do I move forward? And I just am not convinced that's the right question. I think the right question is, do I trust God with this route? I feel stuck. But it's not how do I get out of it. It's do I trust God with this route? Because when you trust in God's plan, you can live in God's peace. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. That's an important word, rule. Because I think sometimes, like for me, peace is just an advisor. You know what I mean? It's like I'm kind of thinking about how should I navigate this? What should I do? What decision should I make? You know, well, stress, what do you have to say about that? Okay, cool. That's good. And fear, you got anything to say? All right, good to consider. Peace, maybe you got an opinion. Okay, that's cool. We'll consider that, and I'm going to take that. And we go through, but it's not ruling. It's just an advisor. It's just an option. And maybe I'll choose it, and maybe I won't, and whatever I'm feeling in the moment, or whatever the last person said to me. But peace, I'm not called to let peace advise me. I'm called to let peace rule in my heart. And when peace rules in my heart, that means it calls the shots. That means that I've got to let go of my discontentment and learn to live in peace. It means that if I'm thinking about a decision and the decision causes anxiety and stress to grow in my life, then I'm not allowed to make that decision. I don't let myself go there. That's not going to be the route I take because peace is ruling in my heart. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace. And always be thankful. I'm always thankful sometimes. Anybody else? See, God has, what this is saying is that God has not called me to achieve, he's called me to abide. God has not called me to achieve, he has called me to abide. I'm stuck, I'm in a roundabout. How do I get out? Where's my turn? No, just abide. Just trust God. Do you trust God with this route? It's not the fastest way, but you trust God with this route. Because the detour kept the Israelites, you gotta notice, the detour kept the Israelites in a place of peace and freedom. And I think that's worth being thankful for. How can I always be thankful when I feel stuck, when things aren't moving, when I'm not where I thought I'm supposed to be? How can I be thankful then? Well, I can be thankful because I know that God is good all the time. And that even when I can't see what he's doing, I can trust that he knows what he's doing. If I can't see the plan, but he can, I can be thankful then. I can be thankful then. I can be thankful that things maybe aren't as good as I want them to be, but they're not as bad as they could be. I can be thankful. Can anybody else be thankful? That, man, my God is a God who protects me. My God is a God who watches over me. My God is a God who leads me, who comforts me, who walks with me through all of my difficulty, who understands me, who stands in the gap for me, who's interceding on my behalf at the right hand of the Father. I can be thankful for that. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, I've learned to be content in any situation, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Sometimes prayer kind of feels like we can kind of convolute the concept of prayer. How am I supposed to pray? Am I supposed to be interceding? Or am I supposed to be, petitioning? And what are the right words to say? But I love the Bible just simplifies it. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Thank God for all he's done. And I mixed it up. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. That's easy. I can do that. And then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds. That's what God was doing to the Israelites. He was guarding them. And God's peace can guard your heart and guard your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. But sometimes, if I want to live in peace that surpasses understanding, I have to surrender my right to understand. If I want to live in peace that surpasses understanding, I have to let go of my demand to understand what's going on sometimes. I've got to let go. We have to learn to trust his process if we want to step into his promise. So God, I'm really frustrated, but I trust you. God, I don't understand what's happening, but I trust you. God, I'm kind of scared about what's going to happen next, but I trust you. When I think about this, I think my wife embodies this so well. When I first met my wife, the year prior, she was finishing up college, and she had planned to travel to Africa to live in Africa permanently to teach English to African people and tell them about the love of Jesus. She was going to be an English as a second language kind of missionary in Africa. And man, what an incredible dream. She's an English major and that's what she wanted to do with it. And she ended up, for various reasons, deciding to stay. And we met shortly after that. And this was right around the time when I was first kind of filled with the Spirit and understood what that meant and how to practice that. And so I was all energized about Jesus, and we're talking and like, man, what could God do? And it'd be, you know, what could happen? And now almost 13 years later, my wife is a stay-at-home mom. And about all the places she gets to go is the grocery store and some parks. Not quite Africa. Man, but I really think my wife just has heroic faith, because she understands that this season of life matters, and she trusts God with where she is right now, and she's not caught up in this discontentment about, man, I had these dreams and I thought God was going to do this, but now I'm stuck. She's owning it and understands I can do something where I'm at. And that God's process is good, even if I can't see every step of that plan. So what do I do? Can I get real practical? God's process protects me. That's great. That's a good concept. I hope that's encouraging to you. How do I live in that? And I think I would just simply say, embrace peace and keep going. Sorry, I don't have like a next step to get you out of the roundabout, but embrace peace and keep going. So what does that look like? Well, we can practice some of this right now. Okay, everybody ready? Just take a deep breath. I trust you, God. Invite his peace to fill your life. Thank him for his protection. And give your soul a chance to rest. Get off that screen for a moment. Give your soul just a chance to rest. Take some time off. You might need to take some time off. Ask for a vacation. I want you to be encouraged, though. You don't have to give up on your destination just because God has you on a detour. God still led him to the promised land. It just was a roundabout way. And he's going to bring you to your promised land too. Amen? So then this last verse, verse 18, so weird. So God led him in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. That's so interesting to me because God was originally protecting them from a battle. But the roundabout ended up preparing them for battle. And so the second thing, I told you I had an encouragement, and I've also got a challenge. So here's your challenge. God's process prepares me. God's process prepares me. When I was a kid, both my parents were teachers, and all of my extended family lived out west, you know, Colorado, Arizona, California, all out there. And we lived in Nebraska. And so every year in the summer, we'd drive out to see the family because both my parents were on summer break, right? And my dad is like a map junkie, okay? He loves a map. I mean, we had four atlases in the car at all times. And he would, you know, before we went on trips, he would just have maps out and like plotting the route, you know, that we're going to take. And I can remember, man, I mean, you just never knew what to expect. Like, and this was before you really did hotel reservations, you know, you didn't have the apps, there was no Airbnb, and so you just kind of rolled up to the hotel and were like, y'all got space? You know, it's like, we're kind of pulling out Joseph and Mary. And so we just never knew, you know, and sometimes I remember as a kid, like just falling asleep in the car and waking up somewhere. You know, I have no idea where we are. I'm in a tent. How did I get here? You know, and so he'd be planning these routes. And I can remember my mom, you know, sometimes like kind of asking, is that going to take like longer? Or, you know, and my dad's like, well, you can't see this stuff on the interstate, you know, because he would never take the same road twice, man. I mean, it was just a different route every time. But you know what? My dad was right. There's some stuff that you see when you take the long way that you can't see when you take the shortcut. And I got to see all over the west half of our country growing up as a kid. Amazing places. But the long way sometimes gives you something the shortcut can't. And that's true in life too. When God has me in a stuck season, when God has me on a detour, when God puts me on the roundabout, there's some things that I experience there that I don't experience the shortest way. And some of those things we might not want in the moment. Can I get an amen? You know, it's like looking back, it's like, man, that really was not enjoyable. But I got something out of it. On the backside, I can see I got something out of that that I wouldn't have gotten any other way. And so I want to challenge you that sometimes, like the Israelites, the roundabout is what readies you. We want to do great things for God. We want to see God move in a miraculous way. We want to see God bring breakthrough and have these moments of just evangelism and just see God do all these different things and live in victory and freedom and glory. But I don't necessarily want the process that I have to go through to get there. You know? But I love that this verse says God led them. On a roundabout way. God led them. This wasn't a bad navigation choice on Moses' part. Right? I drove into town to grab a coffee this afternoon, and I was coming back, and I have the speaker on my Google Maps, but that lady was not talking to me, and I about missed my turn coming into the church today. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't overlook the turns. God doesn't fail to direct you in the right path. It wasn't an accident that they went around. It wasn't an accident that they went the long way. He took them through, it says, the wilderness. That reminds me of Matthew chapter 4, when it says, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. But you know what happened to Jesus on the other side of the wilderness is the heavens opened and the Spirit of God came down on him like a dove, and the voice of the Father said, I'm well pleased with you. And that's what happens for us. The roundabout readies us. The truth is the Israelites weren't ready to fight the Philistines for the promised land, but their test was never about if they could fight. The real test was about if they could follow. They never fought a battle in this story, but when they trusted God with the process and followed him on the roundabout, they came out on the other side ready. The test was not about whether or not they could fight. The test was about if they would follow. And their following is what made them ready. Their following is what made them ready. And see, faith is not a skill that we strengthen. Faith is a trust that we deepen. I don't get better at doing things for God by practicing. I fall more in love with Jesus and get to know him more intimately. And that's what readies me. That's where the breakthrough comes. Not from going to enough worship nights and attending enough Bible studies and being a Christian for long enough. And I didn't do that sin for 3 months now, and so now I'm ready. No. Faith is not this skill that I strengthen and sharpen and develop and I get better at doing things for God. No, it's all about I follow Jesus. I learn to just follow Jesus. And when I stumble, I get back up again and I follow Jesus. And when I fall, I just keep on following Jesus. And when I feel dirty and like I shouldn't really be following Jesus, I follow Jesus. That's what it's about. That's where the breakthrough comes from. And that's how I become ready to face the battles of my life. And you know, I want my life to go from A to B to C to D. But you know, God sometimes skips letters. You know, God sometimes skips letters. And I want this, I want to challenge you in your stuck seasons to trust that God does not have to go from A to B to C to D. God can go from A straight to G. And you've just got to trust him with the process. You have to just choose. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. I'm just going to follow you. I don't understand how I'm getting to, I don't know how we're ever going to get to Z, but I'm going to follow you, Jesus. You can go from new hire to CEO in a day if that's what God wants to do. God doesn't need a warm up. God doesn't need an on ramp. He can just do it. He's God. He spoke and the world came into being. And he can speak in any moment. And we've just got to guard our hearts to not say, God, well then why wouldn't you speak to get me out of this situation and just trust that God has a process, and that process prepares me. So, you know, maybe your kids are going through something really difficult. And I want to get out of this, but one day they're going to have a friend who comes and asks them, why is your family like that? Because my family's not like that. What do I do to get out of this situation? Maybe you're going through something difficult and like, God, why do we have to go through this? Why does our family have to go through this? And one day, your kids are going to watch the way you go through this season. And 20 years down the road, they're going to come to you because they watched you make it. That's what I want for my family. Maybe you wish, God, why can't I get a different job? Why can't I get that promotion? Why can't I make more money? But if you'll handle this season well, if you'll trust God in this season, 3 years from now, a coworker might come to you saying, everything has gone right for me, but I still don't feel satisfied. And I've watched you live in peace and contentment your whole life. What's going on? I don't know what's down the road, but God does. And I've got to trust that the process prepares me. It's easy for me to need God in Egypt. It's easy for me to praise God in Canaan. But there's a refining that comes in the roundabout. And so, what do we do? I'm trying to be practical with both of these, right? Ron, you can come up if you want to. What do I do? Well, God's process protects me. So what do? I embrace peace and I just keep going. God's process also prepares me. What do? Make this moment your mission. Make this moment your mission. I want you to hear this, church. Make this moment. Get out of where you wish you were and make this moment your mission. I wanted to be leading a ministry by now. Well, make this moment your mission. I wanted my marriage to be different by now. Well, make this moment your mission. Live in the present. Trust that God's got you here for a reason. So ask yourself, what bothers you about life right now? Make this moment your mission. What makes it hard to trust God? Press into that. Make this moment your mission. What drives you into your old habits and patterns? Drives you back to your Egypt? Make this moment your mission. Let's get that out of my life. Let's work on that. Maybe your workplace is toxic. Will you be the one? Make this moment your mission. You be the one to show them what it looks like. To be a voice of positivity and hope and encouragement and someone who speaks life. Maybe you're in a relationship and there's bitterness and we keep getting into these silly little arguments. Well, you make this moment your mission. You be the first one to forgive. You be the first one to admit wrongdoing. Make this moment your mission. You take the step. Embrace this season. Let God equip you right here. Focus on your soul and let God handle your path. And I want to close by looking at the end of this story. Because I think that it's just really helpful for all of us, no matter where we are. It's Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud. And he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. And this allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. I want you to hear, no matter your situation, God is in front of you, leading the way. There are some seasons where it feels like day, and maybe you're in a day season where you can see clearly and you know where you're going and things are full of light and I understand and I'm excited and I'm energized and God is moving. And he's still in front of you. That pillar of cloud is there in the day. He's leading you and you feel it. But man, there are other seasons where it feels like I'm in the middle of the night and I can't see 2 feet in front of me. And I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And God's in front of you in that season too. In every season of life, God is leading you. He's in front of you. In the magnificent and in the mundane. In the chaos and in the complacency. God is taking you through a process. He's protecting you. He's preparing you. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? And I want to give us an opportunity to just present wherever we are to God and just to say together, God, I trust you. I trust you. I want to pray for you. If you feel stuck today, I want to pray for you and pray that you'd be encouraged and that you would be challenged. And I want to pray for this church because I feel the Lord saying that there are some divine invitations that God's handing out to this church, that there's a freedom to go and just invite people over to your house, to invite people out to coffee, to invite people to come to church. I really hear this is prophetic. There are divine invitations for this church. And it's time to begin just inviting. Don't get stuck in a cycle. Just bring people along. Make this moment your mission, church. Make this moment your mission. So would y'all stand with me? God, we trust you. We trust you in the roundabout. There is goodness in this moment. There's goodness in every moment. Man, I think there are going to be, the Holy Spirit's bringing to mind some things that have happened in the past. You might not be in a roundabout now, but you were in a roundabout before. And you just had the wrong perspective. Man, God's inviting you to just think about it differently. To repent of the way that you navigated that. Not to feel guilty about it, but to see, man, there's an invitation from God to think differently about that season of my life. I sense the Spirit of God releasing blessings, those preparations that God did in that season you didn't even know. You didn't even know God was preparing you, but he's opening up your eyes to see. I get it now, God. That chronic pain that you've had to walk through life with, everybody's prayed for it. Why didn't it get healed? Oh, but God's been protecting you the whole time. God's been preparing you for something. You've got something now that you couldn't have before. Would you just open your hands, hold out your hands in front? Those stuck moments, whether you're in it now, whether you were in it, the stuck moment, you know it's coming. We all got one coming. Just say, God, I trust you with it. I won't despise the roundabout. Thank you for your protection, Lord. Thank you for your preparation, Lord. And God, I pray for this church right now, Lord, that you would take them not the shortest way, but the best way. For every person in this church, that you would take them not the shortest way, not the fastest way, not the easiest way, but the best way. The way that leads them into a place of protection and preservation. The way that leads them into longevity. God, I pray that every person in this church would finish well. Because they trust you in the detours. I pray for a unique preparation in their lives. God, an openness to receive all that you would want to give them. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray specifically for anybody who's in the room or watching online right now that feels stuck. I just pray, God, that you would come alongside them and wrap them up in your arms, that they would feel so encouraged tonight. You see them. You see them. You are seen by God. And God, that you would just help them to embrace peace and just keep going. The Bible says, a righteous man falls 6 times but gets up 7. Let's just get up. Let's just keep coming back. Ephesians chapter 6 says, I want you to put on the full armor of God so that after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. God doesn't call you to keep walking. He just calls you to stand. Just to rest in Him. Just to stand in what He's done and in what He's doing.
You're the God who fights for me, and of every victory, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep, hallelujah, hallelujah. You stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love, 'cause you stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, march me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, I'll sing of all you've done. It's swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. Oh, 'cause you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. For me, Lord of every victory, hallelujah. And you have torn apart the sea, you have, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of, hallelujah. And you have torn apart the sea, you have, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, I thank you that you lead us. And so we take our hands off and we put ourselves fully in your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you make everything beautiful in its time. Thank you, Lord, that all things work together for good for those who love you and who are called according to your purposes. I thank you that you are not a man that you should lie, but that your promises are yes and amen, that you are faithful and true, and that you are faithful to complete the work that you have begun. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you for joining us this evening. And be blessed. Be blessed. Knowing that your Father is a good, good shepherd. Be blessed. Good night.